This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, afternoon. Thanks for being here. A lot of topics to cover, and one of them is schools. Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me today.
First of all, we haven't talked since the school year officially sort of started. I'm not even sure how that works anymore. Talk about the impact of the fires being their own thing that backed things up a bit.
Yeah, if I could, I'd like to just start off by thanking all of our incredibly brave men and women who are helping with the fires. Our hearts go out to those who've lost homes and property, and especially those who have lost loved ones. As you know, Kyle, our school district began the year in a remote learning phase out of an abundance of caution for our kiddos and families and our staff. As we already were immersed in remote learning when the fires and smoke happened, it had minimal impact on us in terms of our instructional hours and instruction. Teachers were teaching, kids were learning, and so we didn't have to close. However, the only direct impact happened on Monday the 14th. We were tracking air quality really closely. On Monday, made the decision to close schools. And even though we were in a remote learning situation, the air quality was hazardous. In fact, that hazardous range is from 3 to 500, and it was tracking toward about 570. I'm not even sure what that means. Maybe in Lord of the Rings toward it was Mordor, maybe, or it was DEFCON 5, I'm not sure, but it was bad.
Yeah, off the charts hazardous.
Yeah, and so we did close. We're still able to get kids fed that day. We distributed about 1,200 meals, but other than that, the fires haven't had a great impact as we were remote learning already.
So as announced in the past few hours, you've got kindergarten coming back next week. Talk about that.
We do. You know, as I've talked about before on the program, our plan all along was to make sure we had all of our K-3 kiddos back on October 5th full-time. And as part of that plan, in preparation for that plan, we're going to start welcoming back kindergarten students next week as part of the soft start. There's some reasons to do this, including it's just good for these kiddos who haven't been in school to meet their teacher, feel comfortable with school. It'll help us make sure that our safety measures we've been working hard on are in place, and also it'll help ensure that we can get started with in-person instruction on October 5th.
So talk about October 5th and how that's going to work for K to 3 versus 4 to 12.
Yeah, so there's lots to talk about there. So I guess I'll start K-3. So on K-3, October 5th, our plan is that we'll start with in-person instruction. It'll look a lot like, you know, what school looked like prior to the pandemic. We've done a lot of work making sure physical distancing's happening, a host of safety measures and planning for that. But we'll welcome kids. We'll start instruction. We're super happy to have our kids back. We have given the option of choice if families want to come back or not, and that's an important component for me in learning and many other things. So we reached out to parents and want to provide an opportunity for those parents that didn't feel comfortable yet having their kids come back to school, the opportunity to continue remote learning. And we actually have 221, as of yesterday, families K-3 in our school district who opted to stay in remote learning.
That's almost its own school.
It is. In fact, we actually will start October 5th with Roseburg Online School, Roseburg Public Schools.
And how is this going to be set up? I mean, one of the questions way back when it was obvious that some people would want to have their kids come back and some wouldn't, how do teachers juggle the kids in the room and the kids that are distanced?
Yeah, teachers have been doing a great job. So we had planned for this option. We weren't sure how many parents would choose the remote option. I actually was a little bit surprised that the numbers were as high as they were. No judgment at all on that, but I had anticipated maybe somewhere in that 150 range, maybe 200 range. It's over that. So our teachers have been doing a great job. They've got their full classrooms right now of students virtually at this point. And so the teachers, when we come back on October 5th, will welcome back all of their kiddos that come back physically. And those who choose to go remotely will have another Roseburg licensed certified teacher that will be teaching their class.
So that mean, did that mean you had to kind of reassign some people quickly or add people, or how'd you do
we
that?
We did. There was a reassignment. We needed to reach out and serve. What we found in our surveys is that the perception around COVID or schools or whatever this might be does change on oftentimes a weekly or biweekly basis. So we knew we had some super talented staff that weren't directly teaching in classrooms. And they're excited to get started remotely with these kiddos.
So this is, again, another kind of last minute, you know, it's going to be executed at the last minute, but I mean, just having to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, we have a plan for this, and I'll mention what we're going to do in secondary. It's a little bit different, but we had planned months ago for an option of choice. And so although the implementation may feel last minute to some people, we just didn't know how many people we'd have, but we had people identified that could do this. And so I think it's a good option for parents that, you know, for whatever reason, just aren't ready to bring their kids back.
And it would seem like for a teacher to be trying to juggle both would almost be prohibitive.
Yeah, that's where we were at. Our teachers are getting really good. It's fun to be in classrooms now and see teachers teaching. And I think every day is better for those kids and families, although many are longing to come back. It will be very hard to be teaching during the day with all your kids and then try to find time to do a quality job remotely with students who weren't there.
And I know that was one of the things both you and really anybody else in education I've talked to or heard on other programs that we air were concerned about, that this school year, however it went, in person or remote, be a better experience than March to June was.
Yeah, for sure. And I, you know, there's the vision behind the delayed start, and I really, it was about safety, and it was really to make sure we were ready to welcome kids back. But also it was strategic in the fact that I do believe we might see students get into a classroom across the county or the state. We've seen this across the country and need to return back to this remote learning. We don't want that ping pong to happen, but what we wanted to make sure is in the event that happens, that we're pretty good at doing it. And so we don't have to now try to figure out how to do that well if we continue to see, you know, rates spike up or we feel like this will be a good option for our families.
And not so much for Roseburg, but I know some districts are also dealing with, because of the fire situation, depending on where they're located. I heard about some folks last night out east of Springfield where their home made it. It's fine. But because of all the damage to the area, there's currently no cell service and not even any electricity, I don't think. Might be wrong about that. But they've actually decided for now, until that gets repaired, and who knows what the timeline is on that, they're going to stay in a motel room in Redmond because they've got the services they need. And in this particular situation, and I've wondered about other larger families, four kids doing distance learning in one motel room with their parent.
Yeah. Yeah, when we know that, I think I've mentioned this before, that the impact of this is really disproportionate on certain kids. You know, I'll just talk about I've got two kids in our school district, and, you know, they've got a mom at home that's with them, and she can help out, and they have space, and they can be on their own, and they have a device that works. And although we were able to get out devices and hotspots to families and provide that, we do know that it's not the same for every family. Some kids don't have a place that they can really study in a quiet spot. Some of them don't have what they need to access learning. And, you know, some of the distractions that kids need to deal with, there just isn't parity in that. So we're happy to welcome back kids and provide some stability. And then for those parents who can do that remotely and are doing a great job, provide that as well.
Going to be back after a break for our second segment. Superintendent Jared Corden, Roseburg Public Schools. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1246. Later today, KQEN Local Talk at 4. Thursday means it's Northwest Wine Radio. Brian Calvert looking at wine, beer, and spirits around the Northwest. And another Inside Douglas County program for tomorrow. Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools with us. Talked about K-3, talked about kindergarten starting next week. Let's look up the road. What are the current plans for 4 to 12?
Well, we have a close eye on the metrics. We've been watching this closely. I think, you know, as soon as we can get our 4 or 5 kiddos back, we'd love to do that if the metrics allow. And reminder that there are different metrics for those K-3 kids. Our original plan in Roseburg was to bring back our elementary schools at the same time, but the metrics from the Oregon Health Authority, Department of Education, did prioritize. There's different metrics, K-3, so that's what we started with there. If we can get those kids back, it'd be great. We're keeping a close eye. Dr. Danahopper's been great in helping us understand the metrics, tied to 4 or 5 in those upper grades as well. So we'd like to get those kids back, but we'll start with our K-3s and hope our county rates decrease.
Now, would it be the scenario that 4 to 12 would start at the same time, or would that be kind of gradual?
Well, currently, the idea was November 2nd, we had had in there in terms of, and again, a lot of this is metric-driven, that we would start November 2nd with our 4 to 12 students. I'd like to see if we can get our 4 or 5s back sooner than that, but again, it'll be dependent on those metrics. Our grades 6 to 12 kiddos will not be back, I don't anticipate, until November 2nd.
Wow. And all of this is subject to change, like everything else seems to be at the moment. Right now, we've had a little bit of a spike in the last week or so here in the county. Today's numbers that just came out, 2 new cases, 2 presumptive cases. But we've had higher numbers during the past week or so. The new state numbers came out just as we were starting, and 382 cases today. That is the highest daily case count since mid-July. Now, sometimes you'll have that, and then the next day you'll have a number half that. It seems, you know, that part of that, too, is sometimes how many tests get processed in a given day, and there seems to be some flux there, and sometimes certain days of the week seem to be a little higher in general, as we've been seeing. But still, both of those are probably concerning, and the state positivity rate, that's gone up as well, so that could change some of your plans.
It sure can. I mean, right now, and we'll see what is, you know, subject to change as things maybe morph, but, you know, we're keeping an eye on that case rate in the county, and that's a really important rate for us. That's probably the one I try to track most closely, and there's test positivity that's really important as well, but our K-3 metrics are tied really to that case rate per 100,000. So about 33 cases per 100,000 here. We also look at test positivity in the county, but the return of our kiddos in grades 4 to 12 are tied to those state rates. And we had, you know, really kind of met the metrics across the state for 3 weeks barely, and then they started to jump up again. And it is a trend that I think with other things, the fires and you know, a lot of commingling, I am concerned about how those metrics will impact the opening of school.
Now, I understand Oregon and Department of Education met, and I don't know how the meeting was structured, but met to talk about Douglas County yesterday. Were you in on that one?
I was. I think we have, you know, there's the, as you're likely aware, there's I think there was frustration across the county on reopening, and I think there might have been some perceived you know, inequities with that, where, you know, a district gets to open, a district doesn't get to open, and obviously that leads to a lot of consternation in our community. So we did meet with them yesterday, and expect to hear something in terms of some additional information today.
And one of the things there, because in the county, we've got different size districts. You've got, you know, Days Creek Charter School on its own, very small, clear up to Roseburg and kind of everything in between. Yet you're all being driven by the same county rates. And I know some folks see outside of education, one of the things they look at is the county, even with this spike, we're one of the least impacted counties in the state per capita per 100,000 people. And so sometimes people look at that and wonder, you know, how all that works, which gets into all sorts of issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say, I mean, size does matter, even on a return plan. I mean, the restrictions that are currently in place on the return would have, you know, some schools being able to return secondary schools every day because of size. One of the big limitations for us is that there is a limitation on that students can't have contact with more than a cohort of 100 kids within a week. Well, at a school of 1,700 kids at Roseburg High School, which is larger than, you know, several districts in the area, size does become an issue in terms of what that would look like in the return.
So then that does that come to the point where they come back and this group is back these 2 days and this group is back these two or something like that?
Right, yeah. Our secondary schools are going to have a hybrid model, which will be 2 days of in-person, and then there'll be 2 days kind of remotely, if you will, doing more asynchronous work.
And so that, again, the complexities of this, I can only imagine what some of you in education, there's got to be a point where you just wonder, why didn't I go do something else?
I love it. It's great work. And I every time I'd like to just say, we've got such great families, such great staff members. It's a great community. I appreciate how people have understood what we're trying to accomplish. And we're excited to get kids back. And, you know, we have to be flexible. And I think we've been flexible, and we'll continue to look forward to how to do this better.
What's the role of the board in all of this?
Yeah, they are the board of directors. And so, you know, anything relating to policy or those decisions, you know, that are imperative in terms of our future, they're highly involved in. And so they've been a great resource. They've been tremendous champions for you know, keeping our kids safe and making sure we're creating something that we can be proud of, and that, you know, we see high quality learning happening.
Did you have much of an issue over the summer as the way the fall was going to start began to sort of be a little more obvious? Because, I mean, in May, school was wrapping up. It was still kind of a big question mark. But as you got into July or whatever, did that impact some of your staffing levels? I mean, did some folks who could retire look around and go, okay, it's time to retire?
Well, there was concern about, you know, about, you know, what this year would look like. I don't know of a time where there's maybe been more uncertainty in terms of, you know, what things were going to look like. And I think people have realized that what they, you know, quote unquote, signed up for in terms of their training and all the things that they, you know, knew how to do well have really been challenged. I think last spring reminded us that we were all beginners in this. We were all first year teachers and superintendents and principals. And I think for the most part, we didn't see a dip in staffing or people coming back. I think people were up to the challenge and excited to do it. Maybe a little apprehensive, but really happy with the way people have responded.
Looking ahead, I mean, the rest of this school year is clearly a bit uncertain. Do you ever think, you know, ahead to next school year and wonder, okay, will we be totally normal? But then even that may even be a question mark. Who knows?
Yeah, I always think ahead. A lot of what I'm thinking about is things that are afar off. I think that's part of the role of a superintendent. I will say this. I really think this year, communities will be highly impacted for good or for bad by people who don't just talk about the challenges. In this lies great opportunity. I think we're going to, if we look and we listen and we really investigate and ask the right questions, we'll see things that we should have been doing better, that we could be doing better. We'll also think about, I think we'll be probably have that confirmation that certain things we were doing really worked well. So I'm excited for the future. I think education could change some. I think it probably needs to change some, where maybe there is more choice. There are more options for kids. What next year will hold, I hope we can get back to some of the things we were doing, but I think I've always have caution about saying, can we just get back to how we were? Because I don't know if where we were in education is actually where we could be. And so I think this is an opportunity, I really mean that, to take a look and say, how do we rethink the way education could be for kids?
What about the impact on your buildings of this flux as well?
Well, I mean, the most I think, maybe not profound, but the impact that comes to mind immediately is that space is an issue now. We did have, space was kind of an issue before, but space has really become an issue now because of the physical distancing. You know, we can't have 20 kids in a class where we can only fit 17 at this point, or whatever the numbers are. So we have that, of course, concerned about ventilation still. You know, we talked about a capital improvement bond, and those things are still issues we're seeing, you know, we wish we had, but we're ready to get kids back and excited to think about the future.
All right, Superintendent Jared Corden, Roseburg Public Schools, thanks for coming in.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.